Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin. So kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by Bet Online. The college football national championship game is just days away, but also the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, combat sports, and more are in full swing. Bet Online has all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and info. Head to Bet Online today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by Bet Online, where the game starts. Also, State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today. Hi, college football fans. We are in the wake of the first round of the college football playoff. And believe it or not, this year's college football national championship will be decided by two teams that will be playing in the Big Ten this year, the Michigan Wolverines and soon to be Big Ten participants, the Washington Huskies. Justin, if I had told you that like 8 months ago, 9 months ago, I forget exactly when the Washington news was announced that they were coming to the Big Ten. But like, if I had told you that earlier in 2023, would you have just been like, what the hell, man?
Yes. Yes, with UW. I'm surprised they're there. I'm actually not too surprised about Michigan. I know from the early in the season, I was like, Michigan's the one that's like, seeing how they've been built, and even looking at the holes at Ohio State, when you see that they lost their main quarterback, they look like a completely different team. So there was just little areas where they strategically beat us, I think. But like Michigan, I always thought they had a very good team. But even Penix, like for hitting the way that he's developed, Bo Nix has developed, I think that just goes into what we see more of developmental success in a microwave college football society. Everyone's thinking about, hey, fast transfer here, going here. And we've seen like the players that are like peaking at this moment are guys that have had snaps under the belt. Even that Alabama team, I feel like that nucleus is going to be back moving forward. So that's something to look at. But yes, the Big Ten is going to be a slaughterhouse.
You said it before, man. And like, you know, like I said, when I was at the Peach Bowl, they're chanting SEC, and now it's like, man, Bama just went down, and Texas, by the way, is going to be part of the SEC next year. So it's like, you know, two soon-to-be future SEC teams just went down to two soon-to-be future Big Ten teams. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a mild flex. It's all, there's a technicality to it, but it's like, it's good for the conference.
So it's funny. I was at a party yesterday, and someone was like, the game was on. I can't even say as a fan. I'm just like watching, but they were like, who are you rooting for? You rooting for Michigan or Alabama? And I was just kind of like, I'm just enjoying the good game back and forth. Like, but there was like a part of me is like, I guess you could say if Michigan wins the national championship, does that make the 10-3 record look a little different? Where it's like,
I'll tell you what,
for the national champion.
a 9-point loss to the potential national champion doesn't seem so bad in retrospect, does it, guys?
got our man Mike Yurcich at the crib, like, that Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, hey.
I didn't even think about that. I feel bad a little bit.
Right? I do too. That's what I'm saying. Because it's like, that happens. That's what my thought, if I was him, I would be like, yeah, we lost 9 points to this.
Right. Oh, God. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate us, and we have some more developments on the social media front. Follow us and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and now TikTok at State of State Pod. Those are the same all across the board. Again, X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. Thank you all so much for tuning in for what was a fascinating 2023 season for Penn State football. Fascinating, disappointing for plenty of fans, and certainly reasons for positivity going into 2024. Yes, certainly deflated by the Peach Bowl, but moving forward into 2024, the transfer portal in terms of being able to put your name in the portal has closed. In regard to Penn State's roster, there was some news yesterday, and this may fly under the radar for some Penn State fans, but Penn State defensive end Jake Wilson, who was a walk-on, or as James Franklin likes to refer to it, a run-on for 4 years at Penn State, has entered his name to the transfer portal. I know this is maybe not going to really excite that many Penn State fans or enrage that many Penn State fans. I personally just want to wish Jake all the best. He played 4 seasons at Penn State. Jake Wilson was named the developmental squad's co-defensive player of the year, played in 27 games. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining now that he's gotten his degree from Penn State. Justin, you remember your time at Penn State and that you got in, you were out after 3 years, but that was your plan. You got your degree. You moved on to the National Football League. I think this is one of the bright spots of the portal, NIL, et cetera, the extended year of eligibility because of the pandemic, because of COVID-19, is that a guy like Jake Wilson, who has been working his butt off for years for Penn State football as a walk-on, can go somewhere else. And I'm not sure what level of school he would go to, but he can go somewhere else. He can continue his education and he can maybe show somebody a little bit more tape. And who knows where he could hook on. You and I were talking about the UFL, the USFL and the XFL coming together for spring 2024, not to mention the National Football League, Canadian Football League. There's indoor arena football. Like, who knows where this guy could wind up? I think this is a bright spot ultimately for modern day college football.
I think that is a bright spot with the transfer portal, is like that you can get someone that walks on to a prime school and they can get developed, whether it's to go to another school and play football, go to another school, mature, and you're just not dropped off from playing football, but it's more of that trend, like that seamless transition out of the game. And now, like you said, with the UFL and, well, not and another league, but the UFL, the Spring Football League, coming to an agreement with their merger, that's a viable option for a lot of guys to have a avenue to make some money playing football. So it's a great opportunity.
I wanted to share something with you that I saw immediately after the Alabama-Michigan game, and this is regard to the transfer portal, is that Alabama edge player Dallas Turner declared immediately after that game for the NFL draft. And the quote that was provided by Alex Scarborough of ESPN from Dallas Turner was, quote, "I'm gone, ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it." Now, I find this interesting because we're talking about the college football playoff, and obviously there's so much drama surrounding the selections this year, Florida State getting screwed. And then we all watched the two games on Monday and we were like, man, they got it right. We feel bad for Florida State, but it's like, man, those were two fantastic games. And then you get something like this, and I don't want to put Dallas Turner on blast. He's making the best decision for his career that he can, and I'll give him his runway, his leeway in that respect. The quote is interesting to me because it begs a question in my mind. With the present transfer portal, NIL, all these options that are out there now for players, what is the percentage of players that even are playing in the college football playoff, this 4-team system, that are not that excited about playing in it because they want to go get their money in the league?
I mean, you're still talking about a small percentage of guys, right? Like a small percentage of guys on those championship teams. I think Michael Penix, I think like these quarterbacks, I think they're trying to win a championship.
Oh,
right? I really do. But even when we come down to that, I think that's been a dynamic within college sports forever. Even when we saw Willis McGahee rupture his ACL on national TV in the national championship game, and with that end up telling us that he still went first round. So it showed that, like, if you're good enough and you have extreme value, knock on wood that you don't have a career ending or you break your neck or something like that, but something like horrific, like a knee injury like that, where teams will still invest in you to come on board. I mean, ACLs and certain injuries aren't what they used to be, but I understand the cautious approach and the strategic outlook, especially when guys aren't making money in college. And that sometimes I think is a art in how you approach it, because there is a level, like I'm kidding, development is the name of the game today, but there's a level of football where like the toughness and calluses that you build up have to, it's like good to see it all the way through, right? Like when guys were opting out of whole seasons, like we're talking about freakish guys like Michael Parsons, Jamar Chase, but like those times to continue to hit people and like toughen up before you get to the NFL is valuable. So like you get hurt in football when you're trying not to get hurt, when you don't, when you're not giving 100% and you're being apprehensive. The safest way to play football is to go 100 miles per hour and not worry about any injuries.
Play loose.
And so it's play loose. And that's like the, that's like the, that's the thing that's hard to balance, because I know even Penn State was struck with guys at the start of the game saying that they weren't going to play, where they were saying that they were going to play the entire time. But, you know, people get into your ear. How much is this game worth? I mean, agents are talking, and then like, you're right. It's like you've gone this whole time, 12, 13 years in some instances, before you get to this moment. And it's like, I need this one game. And you know, every time you step on the field that it can end, your career can end, yeah, your life can possibly end. But now it gets really real. It's like, yo, there's one game left. So I can't fault the guys for feeling that way. But I remember playing at Texas A&M when I had already moved out of Nittany Apartments before I went to the bowl game, and people saw me move, like, wait, are you leaving? I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming back here. So like, right. I understood that feeling. But I remember playing the game against Texas A&M. There was just certain moments, right? Like they had a big run, like a big, what's his name? It was like a 300-pound Jaworski.
Oh, is that Jaworski Lane?
Jaworski Lane. Like, yeah, I remember 11. Hitting him with
monster. Oh my God.
There was a couple of times where he was coming to sidelines where I'm like, man, hit him. Because then it was, the thought came to my mind, was like, you can't put bad film on, you can't put a bad tape out if you're trying to leave early. So it was like, but I had those moments every once in a while. Just saying that it floats around when you're deciding to leave. 100%. But I still think they care, because like I cared in that game. Like I didn't want to get a pass caught on me. I didn't want to miss a tackle. Like you still play with a level of pride. You know what I mean?
'Tis the season for giving and gathering. And with HelloFresh, it can also be the season of saving. Actually save money this month with fresh recipes delivered cheaper than takeout, and with pre-portioned ingredients, you'll never waste money on excess food. Justin, everybody is trying to save money. It's time for the holidays. I'd rather spend my money on gifts than tons and tons of food.
Save money and time, which we can't get back, right? Especially during the holiday seasons. We'd rather spend time opening up our gifts with our kids and our significant others instead of running to the grocery store fighting people for, I mean, last minute chicken and turkey. I don't know what everyone eats on Christmas, but thanks for HelloFresh for having these, you know, convenient and deliverable services where we can get our grub on.
Yeah, there's no need to fight. Did you know HelloFresh does more than just dinners? From easy breakfasts to start your morning off right to 10-minute lunches or satisfying snacks both adults and kids will love, HelloFresh has tasty choices for every mealtime occasion. And the best part, no grocery store trip required. Go to HelloFresh.com/LionFree and use code LionFree, that's LionFree, for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/LionFree with code LionFree. That's LionFree. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. It's the thing that we have yet to see, however, in college football. And again, it's all like, you know, it's history now because the 14 playoff is over. You're going to get the national title game on Monday, January 8th. So it's like, okay, there's that. But the 12-team playoff changes things. I even kind of touched on it with you in the last episode we did. Is like, hey, if you're on a seeded team like 6 through 12, 8 through 12, you got to be realistic that like if freaking Cincinnati gets in and they draw Georgia in the first round, how many guys from Cincinnati are going to be like, we're not winning this game, I'm going to the league? But there was But to that point that I'm making is, Justin, no one has ever opted out of a college football playoff game. So hearing those little comments, and again, I'm not trying to say that Dallas Turner probably gave that quote pissed off because his team just lost in overtime. Probably.
He was relieved. He was probably relieved. He was probably relieved.
Angry about the loss, as anybody would be, and probably to a degree relieved of like, hey, you know what? I'm going. And there's probably an element of him that regrets saying it in the way that he did. So I want to give him a little leeway there, like I said, but still, no one has ever opted out of playing for a championship. And you can kind of feel that undercurrent a little bit in that statement.
100%. I completely agree. That's Alabama, right? And I have to really like draw in for our listeners. Even when we talk about like some of the top teams and the top players that are going to the NFL, it's not just go to college and go to the NFL. So even when you say like a team like a Cincinnati, I don't know if they're going to have guys like that's 98% of the guys on Cincinnati's team, their biggest game they're going to ever play in their football career. Even Fair. If they're a cohesive team, like those Boise State teams that beat Oklahoma State, where the guy, like, I think outside of Orlando Scandrick,
Ian Johnson might have been Oklahoma, team. Jared Zabransky, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, Orlando Scandrick might have been the one guy that went to the NFL from that squad. I mean, that might have been before him. Anyway, I'm showing my age. But to say that is that like a quality football team doesn't mean that there's NFL players. Those NFL players are far few in between, and they stay within those same teams. Like when we talk about like, oh, the SEC is overrated, da 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 da. It was like this many teams lost. When the NFL talent evaluators go in to find players to bring in, they're going to go to Ole Miss, and they're going. That's when you start finding teams like, hey, I didn't know that Ole Miss had two receivers like DK Metcalf and AJ Brown. Like no one knew that when they were in college because it was just how talent rich some of those areas are. I digress. I'm just saying good teams don't always equal great NFL talent that are looking to sit out, especially if you're going to transition into 12 games. I think that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I just think the options now are so immense, and it's got to get – there has to be some control taken by either the NCAA or usually the last people. They're always the last people to act, so it's like, oh, they should do something. It's like, great, we'll see in 5 years when you make up your mind about it.
But the college football playoff's not an NCAA entity. Like it's not. Right.
That's the thing is that this is, you've got TV networks involved. You have major sponsors involved. You have the college football playoff. You have the individual bowl committees. You have the individual cities and the government around them that wants a major event in their city. Like it's really freaking complicated to try and figure this out, but at the same time, it shouldn't be this complicated. Pay the damn players a portion of the revenue and incentivize them to play in this game, because otherwise you're going to get exhibition games like we just got for 90% of the bowl season.
Because the real issue is, like, because everyone makes the coaches the bad guys in the situation because they have the crazy salaries and the buyouts, and they're like the focus. The real villains are the administrators, man, because like they're not the ones they're the ones kind of handling the strings, doing the different deals, and they're not in the muck with the coaches. Like they like those guys, the amount of hours they put in, the emotional fortitude it takes to deal with these kids, the families, like the coaching, everything that you take, like living in a microscopic like industry while you do your job. That job is worth, like, they're getting paid what they should be getting paid. The players should be getting paid. So if there's ever any balancing out, we got to look at the administrators in this whole situation. We talk about the NCAA leadership. When it was time to lead, whenever, like, we had a situation in the history of the NCAA, they all failed. Like, schools that left, even, I mean, Santa Barbara, before we got started here, and just how we take leadership into the next moment, the NCAA in college sports is based on, you know, standard procedures, like, that's been set forever. So not being able to pay the players has been like, is a flawed system, but it's like an easy system to operate. Now yeah. We're moving forward and running an actual business, which is where it's not like an exploitation farm. Now we have to like put things in order. And it's like the administrators, their value isn't as high as we always seem them to be. Like the product is the product. There's the people that need to make sure the product operates, but outside of them, like you can get rid of them and just have donors, freaking be the owners of the teams and stuff like that, and just keep it moving. If we want to keep talking about like what does this whole ecosystem look like, I just don't see them having that much value at the bottom line. But we all look at the coaches, it's like, hey, this money them, like, man, they have a real job. What are they doing?
I agree with your point. I want to bring up a tweet that made the rounds in the last few days following Penn State's appearance in the Peach Bowl. It's from a gentleman named Cameron Panass at Panass 31. He works for PSU Barstool, former president for Nittanyville PSU. So a young man, graduated in 2020. I hope I'm getting his last name right. Anyway, his tweet got some traction in the Penn State sports community. His tweet said the following: what James Franklin did to the fans who spent their money to go to Atlanta was an absolute joke. Telling them, the fans, that they will be at full strength besides Chop and Dixon and unsure on Olu. Then they end up with more opt-outs the day of the game then they start pulling starters in a 3-point game at half is a disgrace. But I bet they will send out season ticket renewals this week.
I mean, fans have a perspective on it, and I understand the gripe. It's hard for people to understand that two things can be true, though. Like, you can have a organization, and these are 19 to 22-year-old men that are making decisions.
I'm going to say kids. Let's be fair. They're kids.
They are kids, but they're about to enter a stage where they're getting influenced by agents and different people around them. So I guess what I'm saying is both things can be true. Like the fans can also be upset, and it can also be true that James didn't know until like the day of that guys were going to sit out. Because like, even from like the linebackers, Adisa, Curtis Jacobs, just some of these guys, like, I mean, they're getting like their top end NFL players. And to the extent of that month from the last game, people are in your ear. Like, how long should you play? What's this? And you want to stay along with the team. We talk about the culture at Penn State and wanting to play. There's more probability of the players feeling bad, abandoning their teammates to say like, hey, I'm focusing on this. And they led everybody on up until the point it was like, Harry, I'm just going to play this much though. Like, that's more probable than James holding back information to get fans to come down to the Peach Bowl and support because we're going to be at full strength. So I would think the fans would give like the benefit of the doubt that there was some curveballs at like closer to kickoff.
So you, not that you have direct information from, hey, Curtis Jacobs texted me and told me he's going to do this, but like, believe that under the current model with opt-outs, et cetera, that the players at Penn State are calling their shot of how much they are or are not playing.
I mean, they have, at this point, they have that leverage. Like, it's a game where it's like, look, it's good for us to come. We're going to come to practice. We're going to be involved. We're not trying to break away, but sometimes playing on that fence, it lets everybody a little apprehensive and reactive instead of being able to be proactive, because then you can plan accordingly. But if you don't, if you're not planning on how long people are going to play, like, other guys have to get reps. People are prepared to play the game. And if that wasn't the case, maybe that's why we saw some of the things that we've seen. But we're talking about top three, top four round draft picks here. Like, those are the type of, like, how was that? I mean, that was my mental then. Like, if Joe Paterno would have let me, or if that was a culture, I'd have been like, yo, let me get in this first half, play a good time with my team and take me. But that wasn't what we were doing. I get
killed by Javorski Lane.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like, now it's just like, because the guys could say, we're not playing at all. Or they can be like Johnny Dixon and just not jump on the plane and not make an announcement or anything. That's almost better until you make the last minute decision or you kind of alter your playing time. Because I think that's what we're thinking of, is guys that play just a little bit of time.
And the other element to this is that James Franklin is not going to publicize the availability or lack thereof of certain players, because there is a competitive advantage so that the other team isn't aware of that, because you're trying to win a game at the end of the day. So there's that complication. It's not like going to see, you know, a live show or something like that, and it was like, oh, you know, this person was promoted to be there and then they're not there. It's different. There's a gamesmanship quality to this. But at the same time, the comment made there, I sort of agreed with it in the episode we did the day after the Peach Bowl, and that I flew down there. I went to the game. I had a wonderful time with the people I was with, and I enjoyed my experience. But when it came to the product of what occurred on the field, I was like, I won't do this again, because by halftime, 5 or 6 of 11 defensive starters were out of the game. One was Abdul because of injury. Your two offensive tackles are out of the game as well. So I was like, this isn't us. This isn't the team that I spent lots of time watching this year. This isn't the team I went to see multiple times this year. Granted, 13,000 tickets were allotted to both Penn State and Ole Miss fans. If I don't go, somebody else is still going to go. I understand that. That's the largest living alumni base in the world. But to a degree, I understand it. And another side of it, again, I continue to side with players. If they want to opt out and they want to take care of themselves, set themselves up for their future generational wealth, if they are so lucky to go in the high end of the first round, second round, whatever, I am on board with that. But again, this is why I keep coming back to, like, there needs to be some sort of regulation with this. This needs to get shored up.
That's fair. I mean, now we're all feeling, understanding how Adam Silver feels when this superstar sit out of the games, right?
Yeah.
You got a product that you're trying to sell, and then your best guys aren't there. And so that's why I think, I mean, again, I don't, because I think what you said can still be true, right? Like, you didn't enjoy your time because the best players weren't playing. And the reason the best players weren't playing is because you agree
they're
with
making the right decisions.
Your life.
Right. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, this is a bummer for me, but I'm happy for Olu to go get drafted and get his money.
I mean, I think it becomes an exhibition game in another place where you're almost like a luxury spring game to an extent, where you're seeing the backups or the guys that are moving forward. Because I mean, Nick Singleton played hard. Keyshawn Allen played hard. Regardless of how people feel about Drew, I felt like he played hard. Like, both played. Like, guys were, the guys that played, played, which you don't want
that at all.
Because what I would have been pissed off about is if the guys that played or everybody was out there was kind of like Florida State, or like they're at the NFL Pro Bowl and they're tagging off and not really giving effort. That would have irked me out, because then that means that's how it was approached as an organization. I just think we saw the pieces and coaches put guys in positions that they had to move around with the variables of the NFL draft and the new age of college football. So again, compared across the board, that, I mean, and we just, to jump in when he's like asking for season ticket money, I mean, I think that's just a dynamic at Penn State that we have to continuously get over, because I mean, there's a level of support that is needed for any program to succeed, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in like NIL. Cause I think you look at a Michigan fan base, they support that team. They're probably one of the lowest when it comes to NIL participation, but it's more of a bought-in mentality of what do we need? How do we approach it? And then we're all on the same boat moving forward, a unified message, and they're in a national championship.
Looking at the national championship picture altogether, Washington and Michigan, what both teams were able to do on the field. Again, I think what Michael Penix was able to do, I think he opened a lot of eyes. His draft stock, I think, went through the roof. Not that that is the greatest Texas secondary ever fielded, you know, but at the same time, he certainly did a hell of a job and has a crazy wide receiver core. So I am very curious to see how this game goes against Michigan. In your opinion, who's the national champion?
Just based on the situation, I feel like Michigan can go sideline to sideline with them. But when it comes down to it, I'm up to roll with Michigan on this one. So I just think up front, when it comes down to it, bully ball is going to kick in. As long as they can stay ahead of UW and not let them get too explosive, I'm going to tap my hat to Michigan.
It's the challenge of this, and you were talking about how there's experience and that matters so much, and Michael Penix has so much experience, and there's been a lot of jokes made on social media about, oh, Bo Nix has played a million games, Sean Clifford played a million games. Like, yeah, like, but it's proven that it's working, and this is why people are going into the transfer portal to get select players here to bolster their rosters. But I don't know, part of me thinks Penix and the way that offense played, Dylan Johnson getting injured there at the end of the game, already came into the game with an injury. So I am very curious to see how that plays out on Monday night in Houston. But I feel like it'll be another dogfight, another competitive game. And that's what we all wanted from this, is please don't give us a blowout. Please give us a competitive game. And both these games came down to the last snap. It was crazy.
I completely agree, and UW is like an exciting team. I really like them. I mean, I liked Penix when he was coming out of high school. To cement my point, but there's something about championship games when you have to get into the trenches and that you can like essentially rely on the trenches. I haven't seen UW play stout defense or even running the ball up the middle. So when we just think about someone that does, like a boxer that just doesn't take care of their body, you have another boxer that attacks the body, is, you know, fights and games are based off of matchups and styles, right? So like, I think the style, I would lean towards Michigan, but everything you said, I also agree with. That's why I wanted to clarify. I was like, hey, I'm not against that point. Like, I agree, but UW is looking crazy in the way that they're moving. But that's the reason why I think they can't beat Michigan.
And they're going to have to present something different, in that the way they were able to bottle up Jalen Milroe is going to be very different than how they deal with Michael Penix. So I am very curious to see how that goes. And it did seem like and Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. It did seem like kind of a one-man wrecking crew in terms of the pass rush for Washington, whereas Michigan, I think what the stat was in the first half, five people recorded sacks. So the Michigan's doing very well right now, and I know that kills a lot of Penn State fans. to wrap up here, because I know you and I attempted on this podcast here just now to try and solve the college football world altogether, and I'm sure we nailed it just now. looking again, focusing on Penn State, the whole point of this show, James Franklin and company just got done an absolute gauntlet. And again, I go back to the Michigan game. The second you fired Mike Yurcich, it began this domino effect of the last two games, co-offensive coordinators, and then you go get a new offensive coordinator and Andy Kotelnicki. Then you lose Manny Diaz as your defensive coordinator. He goes to Duke. Then you go and get Tom Allen. He's your new defensive coordinator. All the while, the transfer portal's open, National Signing Day. Who's opting in? Who's going to the draft? Who's staying? Who's going? Like, is this a moment where this coaching staff gets to breathe? Or is there no rest for the wicked?
I mean, second signing day is coming up, right? Like, you got second signing day, then you're on to the 24th. Like, it's really, that's why I made the comment of like, as we expand, like they earn their keep, like the coaches, because like it never stops. And it actually, yeah, it really doesn't, because you have to get the young guys that are coming in January up to speed. You have to, it's a lot. No, the gas pedal doesn't get left off at this time of the time of the year. It actually picks up because you have junior days. You have all these different, like, you're actually recruiting now. Now all the younger underclassmen that want to get a chance to see what Penn State's about, now you have zero weekends, and you have to take people to champs while the lights are still up. Make sure that they don't see any of the debauchery at night and stay
calm. There's no debauchery in champs downtown. Are you kidding me? No, take them to the champs outside of town and be like, this is champs. Yeah, this is, oh God. Take them to champs on Atherton and just be like, no, this is champs, I promise.
But that's what this whole offseason is. It's essentially weekend.
Just taking the guys to champs in the den.
Taking people to his champs, going over James's house for socials with the parents. So this is now prime networking, recruiting time, to be completely honest.
God, I miss college. It was such a good time. Thank you all for joining us. Hop in the comment section. Let us know what it is you're thinking about, worried about, excited about when it comes to Penn State football or the college football playoff or just college football altogether. This is certainly a period of time where we as Penn State fans are sitting back and watching who the national champions are going to be on Monday night. Again, like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate us, and hop on X, Instagram, and TikTok and follow us at State of State Pod. That's for all three of those platforms, X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. He's Jay King. I'm Tom Hannifin. I don't have a cool nickname, but that's the end of the show. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.